Okay, so yesterday someone handed me, hot off the presses, the new sefer written by my friend Rabbi Daniel Feldman, False Facts and True Rumors, Lashon Hara in Contemporary Culture. And for those who know Rabbi Feldman, his stuff is amazing. So I wanted to talk today about the possibility of doing tshuva for the Avera of Lashon Hara. How does one go about doing tshuva for the Avera of Lashon Hara? So first of all, in terms of actually tracking every effect that the Lashon Hara has and making it good, that is a very, very difficult, if not impossible, thing to do in most cases, because you don't know who said what to who once you already passed on that information and it's in someone's head, and even if you tell them, forget about it, or you know, they can't forget about it. So every interaction that they're going to have with the victim of your Lashon Hara is always going to be somewhat tainted. It's always going to be there. It's always going to hover. So usually when we think of tshuva, we think of picking up the pieces. We think of figuring out a way to fix everything. Very, very hard to fix the avera of Lashon Hara. In fact, there is a rush in Maseches Baba Kama, in the 8th paragraph of Maseches Baba Kama, Oz Beis, where the rush says that since Lashon Hara is so severe and the emotional pain caused by Lashon Hara is so significant, even though there's no onesh for the avera of Lashon Hara, a Beis Din has the right to put someone in cherim until you properly appease the victim of your Lashon Hara. And in a tshuva, in Klal Kuf Aleph, Os Aleph, the Rush writes that the minogin Kol Yisrael is to make all sorts of knasos, all sorts of penalties, and all sorts of safeguards in order to punish someone who has spoken Lashon Hara. And the Rambam, in Hilchos Chova L'Mazik, Perek Gimel, Halacha Hey, the Rambam says that, well, it's true, the person, the Baal Lashon Hara, is not mechuyev min adin to pay anything, but a Beis Din should see to it that b'chol makom, as they see fit, to involve cherem or whatever else to make sure that the person does his tshuva. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Choshem Mishpat Siman Aleph Sif Vav that someone who embarrasses somebody else, even verbally, should be put into cherem until he appeases his victim. And the Ramah in Choshem Mishpat Siman Tav Chav Si'if Lamed Ches says that the same applies to Lashon Hara. So there is certainly some punishment element, even though on a Doraisa level there's no punishment, meaning it's not a lav sheish but maisa that you can get malchus for or anything like that. There's nothing that we can actually do to punish a person, make him pay any money or anything of that nature. But beyond the strict letter of the law, on a Doraisa level, the Rabbanan are encouraged to impose all sorts of kenosos to punish a person. Not only that, normally when you do tshuva for something, if it's an aver ben adam l'chaveri, you go and you ask mechila, and the person is mochel you. And if he's not mochel you, he's considered to be cruel and unreasonable. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Hilchos Yom Kippurim in Tafresh Vav. But the Ramah writes over there in Tafresh Vav that if a person doesn't want to forgive you, if you spoke Lashon Hara about him, he's not being cruel and unreasonable. It's so hurtful, it's so painful, that we understand if a person is not interested in forgiving after you did something as hurtful as speaking Lashon Hara about him. There is also a very famous controversy, a very famous dispute between the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Yisrael Salanter, whether it is best to ask mechila or specific mechila for Lashon Hara when you know that telling the person what you said about him, or telling the person that you said something about him, will cause more harm than it will do good. Meaning it may be the ultimate violation of Ona'as Devarim to tell a person exactly what you said about him, because now the person is going to feel very hurt by what you're telling him right now. So that is a major machlokas Chavetz Chaim and Risol Salanter, and there's a lot of lumdus behind that machlokas. Maybe we'll have a separate 10-minute halacha share on that. That is not the topic for today. But how does one do tshuva? How does one get, kapara for the avera of speaking Lashon Hara? So obviously, the apology, reconciliation, making sure you don't do it, the normal process of tshuva, of charata ala avar, vidui, kabbalah ala asid, that all obviously has to be done. In addition to whatever ben adam l'chaveru requirements there may be of making good with the person and fixing the relationship, one has to fix a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam as well, and you go through the normal steps of tshuva. Now, back in the day, we used to have other ways of achieving kapara for Lashon Hara. That's what tzara'as was for. A person would be afflicted with tzara'as, and that would serve as a kapara. In fact, that's the the Gemara explains in Maseches Arachin, where the Gemara talks about Lashon Hara, that when a person has tzaras, he has to be separated from the community, he has to be sent chutz l'machane, and that's because when he spoke Lashon Hara, he has separated himself from other people. He's alienated himself from other people. So it's a midah keneged midah, and that serves as part of the kapara, meaning the midah keneged midah shows that it's a form of kapara. In fact, the Gemara also says in Maseches Arachin, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, and in Maseches Zvachim, Daf Peches Amud Beis, that the other kapara for Lashon Hara is the me'il, that the Kohen would wear in the Beis HaMikdash. It was fitted with bells at the bottom, so just like the Lashon Hara is always squawking, is always talking to the Lashon Hara, so the bells are always making the noise, and that's going to be a positive noise that serves as a kapara for his speaking Lashon Hara. And it could be that the two work hand in hand with each other. The Gemara says that one is afflicted with tzara'as for the damage that he did to other people through his Lashon Hara. And if he didn't damage any other people, he just damaged himself, because that's one of the things that makes Lashon Hara so terrible, is that not only does it damage other people, it damages the Baal Lashon Hara as well. So if all he hurt was himself, so then the Mi'il will be Mechaper. The Gemara also says that there's a third Mechaper for Lashon Hara. It's not only Tzaras and the Mi'il, but it's also the Ketores that atones for Lashon Hara. And it could be that the Gemara says that when the Ketores is for Lashon Hara that's spoken in private, that the Mi'il is Mechaper for Lashon Hara that's spoken publicly, and the Ketores for Lashon Hara that's spoken privately. It's interesting, Rav Schneur Kotler, Rabbi Feldman quotes Rav Schneur Kotler in the journal Kol HaTorah, volume 61, page 47. Rav Schneur Kotler says that there's another symbolism of the coat, and it's a vart that we say all the time about the tcheles. Because part of the me'il was that it had tcheles in it, and similar to the tcheles that we have in tzitzis. And the Gemara Maseches Menachos talks about the tcheles. It says that tcheles is the color of the yam, which is dama l'rukia, which is dama l'kisei hakavod. And something about the color of the yam and the rukia is that you can only really, truly, genuinely appreciate the color when you look at it from a broad perspective. I mean, if you were to take a cup, a glass, and put it in the ocean and take out a glass of water, you would see clear water. You would not see blue water. It's only when you look from the broadest perspective that you can appreciate the grandeur and the beauty. So the message for the Baal Lashon Hara is that very often the sin of Lashon Hara is violated because a person is focusing too narrowly. He's focusing on this thing that I find problematic about that individual, and he's not looking at the broader person, nor is he looking at the broader effects of what he's about to say. That right now, in this moment, it makes me feel good to share this bit of information. But if you look at the broader effects of what you're saying, so then it's going to have disastrous consequences to speak Lashon Hara. Now, all this is nice, Tzaras and the Mi'il and the Ketores. How do we do tshuva for Lashon Hara? I mean, we don't have these mechaprim. So the Gemara tells us that there are two basic things that one has to do. One is to work on a person's midah of anivus, to work on humility, because very often as we've mentioned many, many times, the avi avos hatuma of all terrible midos and the gateway of all averos pretty much is a sense of gaiva. So a person works on a sense of anivus, he probably will learn to speak more nicely about other people and not to speak Lashon Hara. And the other thing the Gemara says in Erech and Daf Tezvav and Beis is that a person should work on his Talmud Torah, that learning Torah is going to help. Now, there are two versions in the Gemara of how exactly Anivus and Torah work. One version of the Gemara is that they work they work as mechaprim for Lashon Hara. The other version of the Gemara says that they can't be mechaprim for Lashon Hara, but at least they'll, if you work on Anivus and you work on Talmud Torah, at least in the future will prevent you from speaking future Lashon Hara. So it's not going to actually work as a mechaper. So that's two deos that the Gemara has in Maseches Arachin. Now that second dea that will just prevent you from speaking Lashon Hara in the future, the Chavetz Chaim and Shmir Salashon Shara Torah in a footnote gives two explanations of what that means. One is that the Gemara is identifying two elements of Lashon Hara. There's the Bein Adam L'Chavero element that you need forgiveness for, and then there's what it does for you, and that you need Torah, you need to learn Torah in order to fix your own neshama. A second possibility, he says, in the name of the Menorah Hamaor, Ner Beis Klal Dalid, that the idea that there's no kapara is only for someone who constantly speaks Lashon Hara. But someone who speaks Lashon Hara once in a while, so maybe there would be a kapara for such a person from speaking Lashon Hara. Be that as it may, it seems that the challenge of doing tshuva for Lashon Hara is overwhelming, and therefore it's in all of our best interest, obviously not to do any avera, but specifically when it comes to the avera of Lashon Hara, it's like the mashal that's given where you release feathers from the top of a building on a windy day, and then you try to go and collect all those feathers. It's impossible to ever pull back words that are said. A person should be extraordinarily cautious because tshuva is, because it's a terrible avera, and because tshuva is so, so difficult to accomplish for Lashon Hara. The Rambam writes that there are things that you can't do tshuva for. On his list of things that you can't do tshuva for are things that a person doesn't feel a need to do tshuva for, and items that a person may feel the need to do tshuva for, but is just going to be unable to fix. Lashon Hara would seem to fit in both categories. Very often it's just words. You don't feel a need, you don't feel an impetus to do tshuva, and even if you do, it's nearly impossible to go and actually fix the avera of Lashon Hara.